Dave and Jonathan will be our speakers. Pastor Mulu, would you come? Thank you so much.
Greeting in the name of Jesus. My name is Mulu, Pastor Mulu. This is my husband. We are married for 20 years. We have three children. God sent me in USA before 2010 to reach Ethiopian people by their language. To reach the Ethiopian people by their language. God gives this opportunity to come to connect with First Assembly of God. There are a good people. There are a big vision. God gives a big opportunity. I say thanks for Pastor Weiss and Pastor Mahanai, all the minister team, all these First Assembly of God church believers. This is my husband. He is speaking well. I give for him.
It's really a pleasure to be with us, and we are grateful to our Lord Jesus Christ for his undeserved grace, righteousness, and blessing. And above all, we thank you for letting us share your ministry here and sharing your church. And especially, we forward our thanks to Senior Pastor, Pastor West, and Reverend Mahan. Yes. And the elders of the church, as well as the member of this church. We really appreciate it, how you've been so helpful and so kind for opening out your church to us, because we've been, the time we've been here is almost 2 years. In those 2 years, there isn't any church that you haven't knocked. And we've been knocking every church. And the two problems that we've encountered was, one, my wife being a woman, she was not accepted as a missionary. And the second was, we believe in the Holy Spirit and we speak in tongues. So we couldn't compromise on those two things. In fact, so whenever we ask them, in fact, to rent their church, we always blow it up. They couldn't let us in. And we didn't know what to do. And my wife was actually praying day and night. Let me take you back how we came to this country. My wife, she's been called by God to go to the USA. USA, can you imagine? USA. We've been living a good life. We are more than an average. We have a more than an average living standard in our hometown. We have our own home. We are on car, have a good job. But she was serving a big church in Ethiopia, which is full gospel church, the biggest church. She was an evangelist there. When God called her, she didn't compromise, just like Abraham did. When he called her, she abandoned, and she had to go out of her comfort zone, and she has to come here. She didn't know where to go. She didn't know anybody. All she knows is that she was told to come here and preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. And I couldn't stand between herself and God, because I don't want to be hindrance to her. In any case, she came here. She doesn't anybody, she don't know what to do, just like Abraham did. She didn't know where to go. In fact, there was a time when he has to go down to Egypt because there was famine. She has no support. We have no income. All the income that I have saved back at home, I have to bring it over here in order to support her. We have practically exhausted all our incomes. In any case, she didn't lose hope. She was always praying. She was trying to reach out. She was trying to reach out our Ethiopian community. She was counseling one-to-one. She was praying for them. She was crying for them. She was praying for their healings, for their prosperity. While she does those things, she has nothing. Literally, we have nothing. We haven't asked anyone. We have been living by the provision of God up to now. Can you imagine? God is our provider. God is our righteous. He does things beyond our comprehension. He does things beyond our understanding. We have brought us this far. Now, we have three children. Let me take about my family. We have three children. One boy who's back at home. He's almost 27 years. He's an engineer. And we have a daughter second to him. She's among us with her husband. Would you rise up, Naomi, and give greeting to them? There they are. And they've been married for almost a year and 2 months, I guess. And we have one son, the last one. He's working and learning in the college, community college, at this moment, as we speak. What we can say is that thank you for letting us share your church with you. Thank you for letting us, have confidence in us. We bless you because you have been a blessing to us. You have been so kind to us. When we knocked your door, you opened up without reluctant. Yeah, praise the Lord. I thank God for you. I thank the congregation for you.
Our God is one God. We are worshiping Him. We are worship one God and serve Him. The God heart is mission. The first missionary is Jesus Christ Himself. He sent His apostle. In Mark 16, verse 15, go. God says, go. In Matthew 28:19-20, make disciple, bring God home. So we are, our churches, our mission is to reach those immigrant people by their language. We have a request, support, and encourage us to accomplish our mission. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that God is bringing missionaries to America? We need you. Thank you for saying yes. I just want to thank you so much, First Assembly. You know, as I saw the video and saw all of the missionaries that you support, many of them are dear friends that I've known for years. I know their ministries. I know the quality of their work. And I just, on behalf of all of the missionaries that you support, I just want to say thank you very much. You know, as you support missionary, you've supported me now for I think 23 years since 1990, and I just want to thank you because, first of all, you have God's heart, because God's heart is that none would be lost, and also you are investing in God's call. God calls people specifically to go to the nations, to live in the nations, to learn the language, to make disciples, to be there for the long haul. And you believe in that call, and you're investing in that call in your missionaries. And I just want to thank you so much as a recipient of your support, of your prayers, of your belief in missions and sending people for the long term. I have been serving overseas since 1990. I was in South Asia for 13 years, where I established a cafe for ladies. And then in Central Asia, another cafe, which is now in its ninth year of operation. All of my ministry has been reaching Muslim people. 7 years ago, God did a wonderful surprise in my life. He brought Steve and I together. So we're just about to celebrate our seventh anniversary. Hallelujah. And we have just served for 3 years together in Turkey. Steve is an engineer. He speaks on faith and science from a scientific perspective. He's designed a number of Bible study tools that are free online. On our prayer card, the website is at the bottom. Please take those tools. They're in 9 different languages. He wants people to be able to get the whole story of the Bible. We know Jonah, we know David, but how does that all fit together with Jesus? And so check out that website and see those tools. Steve and I have been invited now for our next term to join Global Initiative, which is the Assemblies of God global focus on reaching the 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. The Ministry of Global Initiative is to equip and mobilize the church to reach the Muslim communities throughout the world. We go to about 35 different nations. We train national pastors and leaders. So far through the Jonah Initiative, we've trained 35,000 local pastors and believers to reach Muslims in their neighborhood, in their areas. We're involved in student mobilization on college campuses, helping students to go on trips to Muslim countries to get a vision for what God would have them to do. We also have just started a new initiative called Say Hello. You know, when we think about Muslims, when we think about Muslim women, we think about the veil, don't we? This is a veil from Pakistan. This is also the kind of veil that's called a burqa that is used in Afghanistan and Pakistan. And you know, the heart of Say Hello is to begin to say hello to the women behind the veil. As we begin to say hello, you see, because this is only this veil is the outward veil, isn't it? But there is another veil, and that is the spiritual veil that covers the hearts of the men and women. And that veil can only be removed through Jesus Christ. You know, since September 11th, there has been such a huge wall of fear between Christians and Muslims. And I believe that in these days, God is calling us to break through that barrier of fear and intimidation and begin to say hello to our Muslim neighbors. God is bringing the nations, and you're a wonderful representative right here today. God is bringing the nations right here. I just want to share a story of one time just recently that I said hello. I had a little Arabic New Testament, and I asked Jesus to show me. I have a whole box of them. I asked Jesus to show me, who should I give this to? And right as I was looking out of our door, right past our driveway, there was a Muslim woman in a full black veil. She had a baby carriage, and she was wheeling her little baby and a little 5 or 6 year old daughter. And I ran out with my Bible, and I ran up to them, and I heard her speaking Arabic to her daughter, and I said, "Oh, do you speak Arabic?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "I have a gift that I would like to give you. This is the Injil," which means New Testament. "This is the Injil in Arabic." And she said, "Oh, I can't read that." I said, "Oh, I thought you speak Arabic. You read Arabic." "Yes, I do, but I can't read that." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Because it's been changed." I said, "It has? When?" And she kind of hit me and she said, "I don't know. And right then the ice broke, and her little girl looked up at me and she said, do you like ice cream? And I said, I love ice cream. And she said, would you like to come to our house and have ice cream? And all the while, we're just walking down toward their house. And her mother, you know how we are, ladies. She said, I didn't clean the house today. We can't have her come right now. And she said, oh, but mommy, she likes ice cream. Please, can she come to our house for ice cream? And so here we are, almost at their door by that point. And because of the wonderful hospitality of Muslim people, they opened the door, invited me in. She took her full veil off, and I spent 2 hours in her home talking about God, talking about just things that we love to talk about as women, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful visit. You know, our hello is her hope for heaven. Let's say hello.
Good morning. It's so good to be here. My name is David Freeland. This is my lovely wife, Jillian. Would you stand, please? You're going to come up? Okay. We have 4 beautiful daughters under the age of 7, and I have a house full of women. So pray for me. I need a man cave. You want to say thank you?
Okay. I just appreciate your church so much. You have blessed our family in such a personal way, and I cannot tell you how thankful we are. I just had to say that to you guys, and I really do. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Pastor, so much.
You know, we love First Assembly because we feel like family here. Pastor West, when I first met you, you know, oftentimes as missionaries, we call a lot of pastors, and we don't get many calls back. But as for you, you're a guy that sought me out. You called me, you texted me, checking up on us when our baby was in the NICU. And we just appreciate the heart of your pastor in this church, making us feel like family. And this is a church that is not just about fulfilling the Great Commission. It's about bringing closure to the Great Commission. You know, going beyond. You know, going beyond of all the things that we see there are limitations set, you know, or roadblocks or fears or whatever. God has called us to go beyond and be who he's called us to be. You know, for me, I'm a youth alum missionary. My heart is to reach students. Students reaching students, that's what we spend a lot of our time in doing. Our hope is that every student on every single campus, every middle school and high school campus will come to know Jesus Christ before they graduate high school. That's our passion. That's our heart. And we do that through many ways. So we train our students in our churches to become campus missionaries, to view their campus as their mission field, that is their youth ministry, not just the students sitting inside of the four walls of the room of a youth service or a church, but their mission field, that is where their youth ministry is at, you know, and that God has called them to go and to reach students, reach their classmates. I got countless of stories that I could tell you about these students who've accepted the call to become campus missionaries, of how they're impacting other students on their campus, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them as they're walking from classroom to classroom or to lunchroom, you know, and letting that be their prayer walk, and letting the Holy Spirit guide them to certain students that just need a word from God, you know, need an encouragement, need some kind of love from the Lord, you know, that they're searching all over the place to find. And this past year, we've seen an increase in the numbers of students becoming campus missionaries. We've seen students step up to the plate and start Christian clubs on their campus. That's another part of what we do, is help them start a campus club on their campus. If there is one already there, existing, plug into that one. You know, let's don't try to reinvent the wheel or start something, you know, when there's already something existing. But, you know, to plug in and make a difference, build trust between the church and the school, you know, through that club and serving the school campus. And then we bring in our 7 project school assembly programs, our outreach part of Youth Alive. And what we do is we come into the school and we set up all the sound, the media, the lighting, the projectors and all that stuff, and basically build character in the lives of students. And this is all student initiated. You know, there are so many things students can do that we can't on their campus for the Lord. You know, and what we want to do is put the tools in their hand and give them the resources and the training that they need, you know, so that they can be effective there. And we've seen the students set up meetings with principals. So I could come in, or a youth pastor would come in, meet with the principal, book a 7 project, and do a school assembly deal in the morning where it's mandatory for every student to be there. And we basically just communicate character things in the lives of students, substance abuse, bullying, you know, those types of key issues that students are facing today through dance, drama, multimedia, presenters, and about 20 to 25 people travel with me to do this. And we can't talk about God, we can't talk about Jesus or anything religious. I'm telling you, it's the toughest speaking that I've ever done in my life. As a youth pastor, man at heart, you know, and you can't talk about God or Jesus, you know, at those moments when you know that's what they need, you know, that's what their hope, you know, that's what they desire. They just don't know it. It's tough. But I tell you, you can feel the presence of God in the room, even though that there's limitations. The Holy Spirit's there in that setting. He is. So we do a school assembly thing. Every student's mandatory to be in our day assemblies, and then we invite the students back out for an after party, and that's where we present Christ. And we've seen thousands of students come to the Lord throughout the years through the Seven Project, through students taking the initiative to bring Seven Project to their school to reach students. And I just want to give you a quick testimony about one of the Seven Projects we just did this past April down in the Hampton Roads area, down in Virginia Beach, that territory. We were in two schools. One school was Huntington Middle School and then Heritage High School. And we did the school assemblies during the day. We invited the students out for an after party. And we had 250 students show up to our after party. And what was unique about this is that I came out and we did a bunch of games and giveaways and drama and everything else. And I came out and I presented Christ. And we don't do what we normally do at camp. You know, we don't, everybody close your eyes and bow your heads. No, you know, we say, if you want Christ in your life, then I want you to stand up and come down here on this gym floor. And there's no hesitation because they want what we have. They long for it. And they stand up and they come down. And it sounds like thunder as they're coming down the bleachers onto this gym floor. And as I'm about to lead them into the prayer of salvation, I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to give those who were sitting in the stands one more chance, one more opportunity. And I looked up and I said, look, you can leave here tonight, get in a car accident, die, and go to hell because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't miss this opportunity. This is ordained by God that you're here tonight. It's just not by coincidence. And I was looking, I said, why don't you ask somebody next to you that if they want to come down, you go with them. You know, help each other out to come down here. And what was interesting is the students that had already come down to accept Christ for the first time turned around, looked up in the stands, and began to wave and call on their friends by name to come down to receive Christ from themselves. There's a shift. There's a shift that's taking place in this young generation. I know they look weird, smell funny, you know, and all kinds of stuff, but God is moving in this generation. It says in the last day, God will pour out his Spirit on his sons and daughters. We will prophesy, have visions, have dreams, you know, and God has a call on our life. You know, we as a church, I was a youth pastor at a church. I felt called for youth ministry. I never thought I would become a missionary. I love Chick-fil-A sweet tea. I never thought I'd become a missionary. Thank God I'm in the United States. I can get my sweet tea, amen? But for me, and I needed to share this with you this morning. When I got hired at my last church, I got my job description, and it was about a page and a half. And then the last line of that job description, it said, whatever else pastor needs done. I spent most of my time in that last line of that job description that I did probably in youth ministry. But my heart and my goal, my passion was to make my senior pastor successful in who God's called him to be. Because I know that's the ultimate goal of why I was there at the church. I've always learned that if my pastor needs something or asks something of me, I want to be wholehearted and serve him in the way that I serve the Lord. And one day he called, he said, look, I need you to meet me. We're going to talk about a few things, and I sat down, and I met with him. He says, look, I know that you're a youth pastor, that's what I hired you for, but you remember that last line? I need you to do some other things. Would you mind overseeing missions at our church? I said, sure, absolutely. I'm all in, but I need God to speak to me so I can have the same heart that you do for this church and this city. And I came to this sanctuary, and I prayed, and God speaks to me through prayer and through his word, but also dreams and visions. And as I was praying, I was walking the altars, and I got up to the altar, and I had this vision. I saw this river. It was about as wide as a football field. And there were so many people in this river, and they were all shoulder to shoulder. It was packed tight, and they were all floating down this river. And I looked down river, and I saw gates, and I saw past these gates, I saw hell. I saw people being tormented in hell. And these people in this river were floating there. They didn't know it, but they were floating there. And I saw myself begin to freak out. I didn't know them by name, but I knew they were heading to hell, and we needed to do something about it. So I began to call out, and I caught eyes with this young man, and this young man looked at me. I said, look, swim this way. I'll pull you out. You're heading to hell. You need to get out of this river. And as he came to the riverbank, I leaned down, and I pulled him out of this river, and I'm hugging him, and I'm crying because I had tears of joy because I had saved one, but yet tears of grief because I had missed so many, and for some, it was already too late. And in the sanctuary, as I'm hugging this young man, I could see out the corner of my eye people, and I looked, and I saw the pews, and our church looks very similar to where I'm from. So crazy. And it's almost identical. And I looked, and I saw people sitting in the pews. And I looked, and I could recognize their faces. They were everybody that attended our church. I saw my students in the student section. I saw this old guy over here that always fell asleep. It don't matter who preached. He'd always fall asleep. And I looked at them. I said, come on, you see these people in this river. We need to get them out. And they just looked at me. And I got upset. I wanted to cuss them, but I can't. You know what I mean? Because you're in church and you're a pastor, and you can't do that. I was angry, you know? It was like this righteous anger rose up inside me. I imagine like what Jesus felt like when he went into the temple and he saw his father's house and marketplace. He said, this is not right. This is not my father's house to do this. And I felt that righteous anger that why are we still sitting here and doing nothing? And I got so mad. And I went all the way to the back of the sanctuary and I kicked the back of the pew. And when I did, all the pews fell forward, all the people came out. They were all up at this altar at this riverbank, and we began to pull people out of this river. I saw certain students in my youth ministry pull out other students that the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day when I met them. Throughout the years of ministry there, God would remind me, this is the one that Brooke pulled out of this river. And this is a student that would ultimately give her life to the Lord. It was students that took on that mission and said, you know what, I'm going to do something with this love of God inside my life. You know, and I knew right then and there what God had called me to do, is to mobilize his people who are called by his name, because we are. God has a call in every single one of our lives. It's not just to pray, it's not just to give, but also it is to go. And how many people you interact with day in, day out at your jobs, in your neighborhood, that you know they're dying, going to hell. I prayed that prayer. I said, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Next thing I know, I'm a Youth Alive missionary. What if the church prayed, you as individuals, followers of Christ, what if you prayed and asked God, God, break my heart for what breaks yours, and whatever he breaks your heart about, you do something about it and go beyond. I believe that this church is not big enough for all the people that would be impacted by you alone. So today, I want to encourage you, man, be all that God's called you to be. Go beyond, over and beyond, man. Sacrifice time. Man, wake up in the middle of the night. Ask God to give you dreams and visions, Lord, how you can pray. You know, that we can bring closure to the Great Commission, not just to fulfill it, but bring closure to it so that way he can return. You know, and you pray and say, God, what can I do in giving? You know, you might need to sell something to give to the Lord. Whatever it is that it takes that God speaks to you about, man, you go over and beyond. You go over and beyond and watch what God will do in your life. Thank you for believing in us. We couldn't do what we do without you. We couldn't reach the students that need hope without you. So thank you for making us feel like family, and thank you for investing in the kingdom of God.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I am honored to be here with you. My name is Jonathan Gray. I'm the director of Teen Challenge, National Capital Area Teen Challenge up in D.C. And I thank God for allowing me to be here. I do feel at home, as Dave said. See, it's weird for me because I feel at home because I'm with Wes and Stephanie. That's how I know them. They're Wes and Stephanie. And Pastor Wesley was my resident RA person at Valley Forge my first year, that poor man. That's how he learned how to put up with y'all. He learned how to put up with me. I honor God. I'm always blessed to see Pastor Wes and First Lady Stephanie. I always do that. I know. But you First Lady, what can I tell you? And Brother Gerald Mahan has known me since I was 11. And I remember when he first came into the teen challenge and see what God is doing in him. It helps a kind of a young knucklehead like me stay focused in what God has for us. I'm listening to the stories, and I feel a little weird because when you talk about people coming to America as missionaries and going to Pakistan and going into high schools, which is not easy, I feel a little bit underqualified. So I decided to just share with you what I think God is doing, if that's okay. I'm the father of three children. I have a 17-year-old son, senior in high school. You know you need to pray for that. I have a 14-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter. And a couple days ago, my 14-year-old daughter, her name's Janelle. She's the one that's she's the psycho student. Everything's got to be an A or it's not good enough. She's one of those. I thank God for that, but she's a little nuts with that sometimes. And she's at the kitchen table in the house, and she's crying. She's upset. She's got her head down on the table. She's wailing. She's doing the... You know how they start talking while they're crying, and you can't understand them, but they want you to understand them? And you try and understand them, but you can't understand them because they're crying. So, baby, what's wrong? What's going on? What's happening? Hey, my life is over. Why is it always life and death when something happens with them? Hey, what's going on, babe? Tell me what's wrong. What's going on? I thought something happened at school. I'm thinking somebody picking on her. Boy said something out of order, whatever, what it is. So I went. She's on the volleyball team now at school. I pulled out my phone at the volleyball, at the practice. Yeah. And I got an iPhone 4 and everybody else got a 5C. I said, baby, that's what's wrong. I did the daddy thing. I did good. I hugged her. I kissed her on the head. I told her it was going to be okay. I went in the den and laughed. But then I got on my knees and I thanked God. Because when I was 14 years old, I dropped out of high school. When I was 14, I had escaped. I was running away from my home because my mother had a cocaine addict boyfriend and I didn't want to live there. When I was 14, I had four other brothers who were all being pulled into the drug scene right along with me. When I was 14, I was running drugs for drug dealers. I didn't have any place to go. I dropped out of school. If it wasn't for folks like you supporting a place like Teen Challenge, I would not be standing here in front of you laughing about my 14-year-old daughter worrying about her iPhone. If I had to describe what it is for you to support ministries like the ones we're presenting, like what's happening at Teen Challenges, is to get you to understand, as Dave already alluded to, what you're doing is bigger than what you see. When you support ministries like ours, you're not just fixing one generation, you're fixing two, three, and four generations. I talk to my children about how I grew up in the projects and in D.C. and how going to Teen Challenge saved my life. And they kind of tilt their head at me and they try to compute it because they can't get it. They live in a house in the suburbs. They live in a cul-de-sac. I didn't know what a cul-de-sac was until I moved into one. And they play basketball and they play volleyball and we have Christmas dinner and grandma comes over and all this stuff. I didn't have any of that stuff. I was dodging bullets when I was 14. I was running from the police when I was 14, and when someone came to a church and said, support me as I run Teen Challenge to save men like Jonathan, they came and they got me. They literally pulled me out. Right as I was starting to get lost in it, they came and pulled me out. Put me in a center, gave me an education, gave me a place to belong, a place to be loved, a place to be changed, and that change in my life changed my entire family's destiny. It changed their destiny. We're talking about college with my son. My daughter's getting straight A's. My youngest is a scientist. I've been married for 18 years. This is what God does when you decide to give. I know it doesn't seem like much to you, but something about your gift in God's hands becomes supernaturally multiplied. It's not just about money in a bank anymore. It's not just about a faith promise anymore. It's about God using you to fulfill his preordained plan for his people. He planned all this out for me. That's what gets me. This was his idea. He had this plan. I had no idea. And I had no idea how. I stand before you knowing that what you give today, what you promise to give, is going to change somebody's grandchild's life. I'm waiting for that day. I'm the granddaddy the first time. I'm waiting for that day, because that is the third generation of God's salvation in my family. That's what I'm looking for. So as you consider giving, as you consider what God will have you to do, understand that I stand before you as humbly as I possibly can to say to you that myself and the men in our program, they're men that are, they want to be fathers again. They were cocaine addicts, now they want to be fathers. They were convicts, now they want to be teachers. A young man, 21 years old, said, "Pastor, I don't want this anymore. I want my life to change. I want to be a different man from now on. I know I need Jesus to do it." That is a revelation of the Holy Spirit that comes. And we're able to help them because you give. My family's life has changed because you give. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. I want to make sure everybody has a faith promise. There's a couple of things that we're going to do. You just see where you can fill it out. You can put weekly faith promise, meaning what you give weekly or what you give monthly. Your name, your address, your signature. Please fill out both sides. Write the amount. You can tear one off. You keep it in your wallet. My ideas for missions have changed this year, and it has become something different. I think when we first came to First Assembly, I've always loved missions. We've always been a part of missions. When we youth pastor, we took our kids on a lot of trips. We went with adults and built churches, and I've seen the work of missions, not only overseas and home, but I've seen what missions works on in you. And missions changes you. And I can remember as a young senior pastor, now I'm old, but I remember coming in, Dottie, amens. I remember coming in and one of the first meetings I had was with someone about missions. The church was in a very different place, and we really determined in our heart that we were going to do missions differently here. I remember communicating to our team and to the leadership, I can preach in the dark, but I cannot go to bed at night knowing that we are not paying missionaries that we've made commitments to. And so we're going to get the right things right. And I'll never forget the first time I got the letter from the Assemblies of God. They sent and said, hey, of all the churches in the nation, you're in the top whatever. And I have to admit, there was a real celebration in that moment for me. One, because it's something that we've done together that was exciting. And, you know, we're making a difference. We're not just talking about giving, we're giving. We're doing this. And so each year you see the numbers change. And this year, I'll never forget, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of thinking, you know, God, I wonder where we've done. Because I'm not a money person. It might sound crazy. I don't always look at where we at, we walk our budget. I want y'all to be calm there. But in the dynamics of how much have we given, how much have we done, because that's not the most important thing. And I can remember kind of praying for this weekend and praying for this moment. And God really challenged me with this. He said, Wes, you're asking yourself the wrong questions. And he says, it's not where are we going to be. Because if you're number 500 on the top 1,000, it doesn't mean that you're better than every church below you. Because they may have half the size. They may have half the resource. And the fact that they're $10 behind you means very little. It doesn't mean that churches above you are better. They may have more. They could have just said, what's the amount, and written a check, and that's why they're number 20 in the nation. It could have been a lot of things. The question that God gave me to wrestle with this year is simply this. Have you done your best? And that's what I want to ask you today. Is have you done your best for the kingdom? When we take these things, it's so easy in our mind just to let's put a little something in. But I want to ask you today, have you done your best? Not have you done what you can do. Not have you done what's comfortable. Not have you done what will allow you to say, oh, yeah, I'm a part of the missions thing. But I want to take a moment, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to speak to you. And some of you, we have different resources level. We have some who have more than others. We have some that things are tight, things are tough. And I understand that. I live in the same world you live in. But I want us to ask ourselves this time, God, tell me what is the best, and let me do my best. And if it's $2, it's $2. If it's $20, it's $20. If it's $1,000, write the check to me, all right? But ask yourself that question. Have I done my best for missions this year? If you've never done anything, challenge you to do something. This is a faith promise, all right? I'm not going to come knocking on your door in a couple of months and say, hey, don't make me call my boys, all right? It's not going to happen. I want you to listen for what God says. And whatever you feel God speaking to your spirit, I want you to write that down. I want you to say, God, I'm going to do my best. And let's trust him with it. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just hearing the stories, God, it just reminds me why we do it. It just reminds me why we do it, God. Forgive us, oh God, for being so caught up in our own little worlds with our own little silly problems that we sometimes forget that there are people who need us to love you. They need us, Lord God, to hear you. They need us, God, to be obedient to what you are speaking to our hearts because it makes a difference for the kingdom and for an eternity. So Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. Father, whether we come every week, whether this is our first Sunday, it doesn't matter, Lord Jesus. Speak to us right now. Give us an amount, God. Give us a number, Lord Jesus. And let us in our hearts ask ourselves that question, am I doing my best, so that we can say, yes, I'm being a steward of what you've given me, God. I'm prioritizing my life by the kingdom and not by my desires, not by my wants, but by your heart. And may your heart lead us today in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. I'm going to have our worship team come, and they're just going to lead a song. If you'll take a moment, you'll fill this out. Just ask God what he wants you to do. Fill that out. We're going to have our ushers come in just a moment. We're going to pick these things up, and then we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to go downstairs. We're going to eat some ribs. Again, if you're a guest here today, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. A lot of churches in the area, a lot of places you could have gone, but you came here to be with us, and I believe it was a divine thing. I don't think anything ever really happens by chance. I believe that God moves and God shakes and God adjusts and God leads. And so if you're a guest here today, you'd like to be part of our missions banquet, we'd love to have you. Please, out of this door, hang a left, meet us in our Common Grounds Cafe, and we would love to make sure you're taken care of very, very well. And so as you're filling these things out, let's just kind of maintain a spirit of worship, and as the worship team leads us, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to do our closing, and then we'll be rocking and rolling, ready to go. Amen? One, two, three. All right, there we go.
Here I stand.